Alan, I got to apologize. I'm a little bit rattled. I've been working on this whole idea of a new Oilers goal song. No disrespect to what's come in the past. But right now, a little bit rattled because I had a plan of five top songs. They went onto Twitter. Where they, it just ended now. And Ryan Rashog just comes and drops Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith, and it's taking the city by storm. Do you have any submissions we should consider prior to
I have only one. Orders? I have only one. And it's it's so good, I wouldn't want to have a second choice. It's too good. You've never heard of it, Strutty. But I encourage you to go to YouTube, and I know you won't buy the record, but maybe you could Google it. You know, YouTube it, and then listen to it. It's by a group called Unleash the Archers, and it's called Northwest Passage.
Okay. Is it like a guy whistling, or what is it, playing harmonica?
It's poetry. No, it's first of all, it's a Stan Rogers song. He's a great folk artist who passed away many years ago. But it is just hammerhead rock and roll, just unbelievable. And the lead singer is just over the top, like just astounding range, and just screaming it. It's just an unbelievable song.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take a look. I honestly, at this point, I'm not sure I can take any more submissions. I've got like 15 minutes before I got to tweet this out, tweeting at the Oilers, and I'm barely hanging on by a thread right now.
Well, and the band that I suggested has three names. You'll never remember that. You know, Unleash the and Archers. You know, that's a lot.
It's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Now, Alan Mitch, I always love our conversation on Friday, especially when Gregor's here, not here, because then I can actually ask some questions. When you look at this, you know, I've been wanting to ask you this for a while. With the Edmonton Oilers, their money's spent. For two seasons, they have very little cap flexibility, assuming there's no, you know, upward movement of the salary cap. Which young player could have the biggest impact to the Oilers and really kind of take them from what we expect to be nearly a top 10 team in regular season and push them to a higher level?
Well, that's a great question. I'll tell you what, I really like three players. Two have played on the team. Well, three have. But I really like Jesse Puljujärvi. I don't know that he's going to stay on the McDavid line forever, but I really like what he can do. He's a big guy. He runs over people for fun. He scored 15 goals. I also really like Kalle Yamamoto. And Evan Bouchard, I think, is going to be a real revelation for me. I think people don't, you know, even last year he barely played, and he had great passing ability. In the first or the second game he played, like for the entire month of February, he sent just a gorgeous little shot in that was tipped by Jesse Puljujärvi. Mm-hmm. It was the second goal of that game, and Bouchard creates a lot of offense from the defensive side. I think he's going to be the guy we're talking about at Christmas time, who's maybe not front and center right now.
Yeah, because when you look at it, like I think we know what we're going to get from the two centers, obviously. I think Nuge, we kind of know. Hyman, kind of within a ballpark, I think. Warren Fogel, is there much more goal upside? Maybe, you know, with a little opportunity. But I think Puljujärvi, I think north of 20 goals for sure. You know, I think for sure he's going to get it. Yamamoto, you know, I'm not quite as sure what he's going to do. Bouchard, I don't know how quickly he's going to become what you're talking about. I know some people think it might be by the new year, which would be amazing. But they're going to need internal growth. They're going to need some people pushing, because if from now on, for 2 years, buddy, it's money in, money out if you're going to make any kind of moves.
Well, and you're also going to, like, let's say Puljujärvi, like, smokes it and wants $4.5 million. Where are you going to find it, right? Like, that's the, like, here's the problem. You know, a year from now, Ken Holland might want to trade Cody Ceci or Tyson Barrie, but teams are going to be wanting Evan Bouchard. And so you're going to have a hard time, I think, trading the veterans you've brought in if you're Ken Holland. And then what's left? You're not going to trade Nuge. You just signed a my career is here contract. Nurse isn't going anywhere. I think Barry's here for duration or close to his contract. And they just don't, like, the guys who are peeling off, aside from Koskinen and his money spent on Nurse are people like Chris Russell, who doesn't make a lot. So I honestly, somebody was talking today about, you know, the Oilers are interested in Jake DeBrusk. How do you get him on the roster? He'd be the third line left winger at the very best, and you know, he makes 3.5 or something. So I don't know how you get him on the roster.
Yeah, well, I was joined by Alan Mitchell. What's going to happen, I think, if you're an Oilers fan, is you have to hope that Zach Kassian has a really good year. And then you're going to have to trade him. Because you're right, that Puljujärvi, I mean, what does that contract look like next year if he gets 25 goals?
Lots.
You know, it's a lot. This isn't like a $1.7 million player, right? It's going to cost a lot. So I think that, you know, that's the guy. And unless another D-man comes in big time, you know, I don't know where else. You're not moving Nurse. You're not moving Bouchard. You know, the other guys on the left either, you know, Keith will have 1 year left on his deal, but if he plays well, you need him because there's no one else coming in there. Yeah, you're right. Maybe Barry or maybe CeCe. I think Barry would be more likely than CeCe just because he has less term. But it's like next summer is going to be amazing. And then you still need to find the goalie. And that's where I think people kind of get lost in this story. Like, unless is it? Do you think it'd be Konovalov or maybe Skinner? And
boy,
again, those two guys share it.
If one or both of those guys could emerge this year, that would solve a massive problem. The other thing I think they could do is trade Klefbom's contract. Teams do that, but I don't know whether they would consider that. And we don't even know whether Klefbom is coming back. But you know, you nailed it there with the goaltender. You know, the if they can stay under the cap and then put Klefbom on IR, then they won't be right to the cap and they won't be over it to start the year. And at the deadline, they might be able to bring in a reasonable goaltender as a rental. But for next year, Smith signed, obviously, but that second guy, whoever it is, has to be really good and really not expensive. And as you know, with goaltending, they're if they're good, they're expensive. They get paid, and more, they're getting paid more and more. So you hope. I know they like Skinner, and obviously signed Konovalov. If one of those two guys could play, I know it sounds ridiculous, 30 games in 22-23, it would be a hell of a thing for the Oilers.
You know, as we're joined by Alan Mitchell from the Lowlands Low Tide, I love how you talk about that idea of training at the trade deadline. The Oilers have done a lot of that. And they've shipped out, draft capital, right? Assets as far as draft picks. And unless, you know, there's some massive improvement, are the Oilers really the team that, is this the year to trade, we saw the price for the Avs, the trade they made. Now, Darcy Kemper, I know it's a little bit longer than what the Oilers would be doing. But, you know, I don't know. I if the goaltender is average or better, I think you roll with it. Because, you know, I think that next year you have more internal growth. That the guys that you outlined are going to be even stronger. And then maybe that's where you go out and add. You look how many draft picks they've traded on and where they are cap-wise. They look like a team that have had Stanley Cup runs. You know, if I compare it to what Tampa's done with their trades and their cap situation and the Oilers and the Leafs in many ways, same thing with all the draft picks they traded away, but no playoff success. So where's the payoff for all those moves, Al?
Well, I'll make a prediction here. I think that first round pick in 2022 is in peril now. Like, I really do. They're going to start the year and they've got some, they've got two of the best players on the planet, including the best player on the planet. So I'm not here to destroy them. I think they've got real advantages, but there are holes. And you know, you mentioned Yamamoto. He didn't have a good second half. If he struggles and they can't replace it internally, that might be an area they have to look at. Maybe the second pairing isn't what they thought it would be. You might have to move there. Goaltending. I honestly think that they're clearly the MO for Holland here is to trade everything but the first-round pick each year, but he put himself in a position with that Duncan Keith trade where the second and the third-round pick are kind of tied up. And so you're only, from now until the deadline and maybe even after into the summer, into the draft, your only real chip aside from prospects you might want to trade is that first-round pick in 2022, and I don't see them using it. I'll predict that now.
Well, Al Mitchell, thanks for this time. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll catch you again on Monday as you get all set up.
May I ask you a question?
Go on, please.
the first thing I thought of this morning when I found out that Henrik Lundqvist had retired was was, you know, how intense he must have been as a teammate, and how popular he was in Manhattan. And I know that you love Manhattan almost as much as you love Edmonton. So I don't know how much you've talked about it, but I just wondered about that as you Google Unleash the Archers, if you had anything on Henrik Lundqvist.
No, he was honestly, when I talked a little bit about it, he was so intense and such a great guy, and like, but just a professional. You know, you hear about the way Peyton Manning prepared for a football season. That was this guy. Nothing else was more important than him getting all his work done and be fully prepared for the game. And then he'd go home. So there'd be times he'd get home from practice at 3 or 4. I'd been home for 3 hours. You know, like, let's be honest, I was in and out like a fiddler's elbow. So it's an interesting thing, and it's weird because I actually called my mobile phone service carrier because I'm not getting texts from Sweden. I was waiting for my thank you text. Like, is there some? Do I have to have a special app here? You know, so we were texting each other when he, you know, was ill with the heart issue. But I'm like, what's wrong? Is my phone not accepting texts from Sweden? It's very odd, Al. Very odd.
And he was your wingman in Manhattan too, right? So like, you guys are close.
We were partying. I took him to it was called the Pig's Trough or something like that. And he hated it. His girlfriend, now wife, liked it. And he would be like, I hate this place. And we'd play like beer pong and stuff like that. He's like, I'm never coming back. But his wife liked it. Should she come? And the whole time he complained. So, something about the Pig's Trough. But it was great. Great beer. A lot of fun. So, yeah.
Strati, have a great weekend.
Thanks, buddy.